morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to hear everybody talking and just excited to be here gathered together for time of worship, especially at Christmas time. Very exciting for us to gather together as the church. We'd like to welcome you this morning to our worship service. If you are a guest with us, if this is your first time with us, or you've been here several times and have never filled out a guest card, we are excited that you are here, and we would love to have a record of you being here. And we collect that information by the little guest cards that are located in the pew right in front of you. And if you could fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate, we'll take care of the rest this Sunday. We would just love to have a record of your time with us this morning. Several announcements to make sure we're aware of a few things as we approach Christmas and the new year with many things coming up. First of all, on the side right here and right here, you'll notice we still have plenty of our Sled Day flyers and little postcard handouts. Please take as many as you would like to hand out, give out, put out somewhere, because this is a perfect way for us to reach out and invite everybody from the community, all our friends, families, neighbors, everybody, anybody. Saturday, January 4th, that's our Sled Day. You'll see that information on these two cards. Please pick this up, pass it out. It's a wonderful time for our children to come together, spend time with one another, and to reach out to the community as well. Just a reminder that there will not be any journey tonight before the cantata. And in the smaller kitchen on this side over here, if everybody could please go by there and check in the mailboxes to see if you have any letters. Even if you didn't put any in there, check and make sure and to see if you have any in there, and that'll help us greatly to distribute all of those. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? No? Well, as we now begin to reflect on the Christmas season and prepare our hearts for this time of worship, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are so thankful to be here right now. God, when we are gathered together, we know that you have brought us together. God, we realize that Christmas is only but a few days away. It's been an exciting season. At times it may have been a busy season, maybe even stressful at times, Lord. But this morning, we do not want any of the busyness or stress to distract us from your presence, God. Guide us this morning to reflect and remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he is living now within us and among us. And God, we ask all this in his name. Amen. Now let us spend just a few moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Angels This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we light the fourth candle. And the scriptures are Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Imagine the difficulty of this young couple. Having traveled over a great distance, they find themselves out on the street, exhausted, discouraged, nerves on edge, and hope running thin. Were they wondering if God was going to pull them through this? And God does, doesn't he? And probably in a way they never expected. Perhaps God will do this for you this Christmas, pull you through the hard time in a way you never expected. The last candle reminds us of hope.
Page 118, What Child Is This? Let's all stand.
What child is this who lay to rest from Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds draw and angels sing.
Good morning. So glad to always see you guys come down here. I'll give everybody just a minute to sit here. I want to pan around and see all the children we have. See you all here down this morning. Are you excited for Christmas? I hope so. It is only a few days away. I know it's a very exciting time for us to all celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you again, kind of the same question I've been asking. If you hear the word Christmas, when I say the word Christmas, what do you think of? What's the first thing you think of? Christ. Good. What else do you think of? Christ. Good. We're thinking of Jesus. I love that. Presents, of course. Right? What else? When you hear the word Christmas, what do you think of? Yes, absolutely. It's baby Jesus' birthday. Christmas trees and presents. Remember, I even brought a couple ornaments, right? I dropped this one. Can everybody see this one right here? Can anybody tell me what that is? It's an angel, right, right. It's an angel. You see, a very important part of the Christmas story are angels. And we've talked about that a little bit. And this morning, I want us to remember that not only did angels appear to the shepherds to tell the shepherds about Jesus' birth, but angels also appeared to Joseph at another time. Well, this morning we're going to talk about when an angel appeared to Joseph, okay? Let's look in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 18. Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary was with Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Listen to this. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. How amazing is that, that Joseph had an angel appear to him? Think about what we heard this morning. Joseph and Mary, they're a little nervous. They're not really sure what to do. And Joseph didn't know really what to expect, what's about to happen to Mary giving birth to the Son of God. So an angel appeared to Joseph and told Joseph not to be afraid and to trust in God and told Joseph what to do, even how to name the baby, to name him Jesus. And so what I want us to remember this morning is that God always teaches us what to do. He always tells us the direction we should go, even when things don't make sense all the time. When we pray and read the Bible, God will always teach us. It may not be through an angel, but it will be through prayer and through reading the Bible, okay? So let's remember that this Christmas and pray about it now, all right? God, thank you so much for showing us how to always obey you and trust you, even when it's really hard. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
As they are returning to their seats, let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns. Got some names I'd like to add to that. Miss Minnie Holder, we need to be keeping in our prayer. She is, I think, at the hospital at Central Carolina. I'm looking for Jean. Is that right? There you are. And with pneumonia, doing better, but we want to keep her in our prayers. We'll see the name Louise Adkins on our prayer list. She has moved to Farrell Road, and we want to keep her in our prayers in a very special way. Clifford Dickens is still in the hospital. Clifford, they have determined, may not have had a heart attack now, but is having some issues, and we want to keep him in our prayers in a very special way. You'll also note the name of Nancy Moss. Nancy passed away. There will be a graveside service at Lee Memorial Gardens this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I ask you to remember that family in your prayers. Amanda Nowell is home from having surgery this week. And then two that we need to remember in our community that have passed away. First, the family of Alpha Adcock. We want to remember that family in our prayers. That's Judith McGeehee's uncle who passed away. And then also Nelda Jones. Her husband is Lindsay Jones. And we want to keep them in our prayers. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, the angels fill the skies with the proclamation that in the midst of sickness and heartache, and even death, there is good news. For unto us was born that first Christmas day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And as we worship today in spirit and in truth, Lord, would you speak to our hearts in those deep places of where we are. That in a time when it is easy because of all the outside distractions to miss the holiness and the worship opportunity of our everlasting Savior and King. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the incarnation, you putting on flesh and walking in our midst to deal with our sin problem and giving us life everlasting. It is in the strong name of Jesus we lift these names before you, these families before you, these concerns before you, and ask your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're happy to have Ben helping out with our children's choir, playing the guitar, and he played and sang a number at a fundraiser in Sanford that we appreciated. He did very well. And then that song was included in our children's musical, and he accompanied that as well. And we are asking him to do this again for you. So he's going to do a real nice mission song, Go Light Your World. And Ben, take it away.
Carry your candle, run to the darkness. seek out the hopeless, the deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Ben. Page 93, it came upon a midnight clear, the first, second, and last verses. Let's all stand.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you bestowed upon us. Father, at this time of year, we come and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came to this world to save us of our sins. We ask that you bless these offerings and tithes to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, Bethlehem is more than just a memory. It's a life-changing reality. Thank you, Ben, for that sharing of the desire to light our candle, to let our light so shine. Let me invite you to open your Bibles now with me to John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. As we finish up what John wanted us to understand in that great introduction to Christmas, to Christ. As he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light. And then John, just 2 chapters later, gives us the gospel. He lays it on so clearly and so strongly that we have memorized it. And I dare to say that probably this is the most memorized verse in God's Word. It's the truth of what Christmas is about. It is indeed the message that we will celebrate today. And tonight, as our cantata will be presented, I hope you'll come and support that. And then Tuesday night for our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock is we will again praise the one who loves us so much. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We did that ourselves. But in order that the world might be saved through him. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and grant us understanding of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, for a moment this morning, would you speak clearly to us of your love? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open it to the carol, page number 85, The First Noel. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our worship today. I found out a little-known fact, and it might even cause you some alarm today to understand that maybe the reindeer were named wrong. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer, the male reindeer, drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November, and they're done by mid-December. Female reindeer, however, retain their antlers till they give birth in the spring. Therefore, every reindeer, from Rudolph to Blitzen, had to be a girl. This writer said, well, we should have known. Only a woman, while pregnant, would be able to drag a fat man in a red velvet suit around the world in one night and not get lost. So, there you have it. Christmas. This Wednesday. Here we are, the last Sunday before Christmas. The time when most of us, except you more professional procrastinators, have finished shopping and decorating. A time when the final family plans are made and some of us are really getting excited about what's underneath the tree. This Sunday, when all the candles around the Christ candle have been lighted, maybe it is appropriate, I know it is, to focus on the love of God. Let me very quickly give us 3 points about God's love. The first is, in John 3:16, there's this message of God's love for us. God loves us. Say the verse with me, would you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is. The Creator of everything loves you and me. The one who wrote the manual on mammals loves us. The one who has the blueprint on birds loves us. The one who has the recipe for reptiles loves us. You might argue, well, he loves all of his creation. If you go back to Genesis, after each section, he looked at what he had done and he said, it is good. It is good. And he does love it all. The one who hung the stars in the space, that God. The one who understands how this earth had to orbit the sun in just the right place for the life on this earth to be sustained, that God. The one who knows how to form a rainbow after the storm, that God loves us. We are special. Genesis wanted us to understand that, and John did too. That's why John connected so tightly his beginning of his gospel to Genesis. Genesis tells us that we were created in God's image. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we find these words. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then, as though the writer of Genesis wasn't quite sure we understood it, in Genesis 2, 7 through 8, he gives us a little more detail, and it says, beginning in verse 7, and then the Lord God formed a man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the ruah, the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man which he had formed. God created us different. He created us with a mission, but also to enter into this love relationship with him. Oh, brothers and sisters, please don't let us allow the world to rob us of the holiness of Christmas. Bill Keane's comic strip, Family Circus, communicated a beautiful truth about Christmas. The children were setting up the nativity scene, and they were curious about where the star was going to go. And then little Dolly held up the baby Jesus, and she declared, here's the star of Christmas. I hope we don't miss that. That it is about Christ. It is about his love for us. Because the message of his love leads us to the meaning that salvation is available. Would you humor me just one more time? maybe twice, but at least one more time. Would you say John 3:16 with me again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish. We're touched by death every day. Should not perish. Each of us know the sting of death. Should not perish. That's what he said. That's what he meant. That's what we believe because of Christmas. We believe that salvation is available. That although we live in those bodies that are formed of the dust of the ground that started with Adam, and that dust will indeed return to the ground from which it was created, we believe that what Christmas does, the meaning of Christmas, is joy to the world. The Lord has come. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's what we believe. That salvation is available. You see, John knew that maybe when we read this, we'd also remember Genesis again. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17 begin a story that we know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. In verse 16 of chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" We know that story, right? We understand that from Adam to us, we have been separated from God by our sin, by our choices. Today there may be someone here who says, "I'm not as close to God as I ought to be, as I wish I were." And I can tell you exactly why. Exactly why. I can guarantee you, I know the answer. It's because of sin. It's because of sin. The only thing that separates us from the power of God is sin. The only thing that separates us from a close relationship with God is sin. The only thing that impedes on that beautiful walk daily with God growing sweeter and sweeter as the days go by is our choices when we choose to not put God first. Jesus, as he concludes the great Sermon on the Mount, says that each of us must make those choices about how we're going to live our life and as how we're going to walk with God. And he says, "Seek ye first." Remember? Seek ye first. Seek ye first the deals at Walmart. Seek ye first your first spot on Black Friday. Seek ye first the family gathering. It's not what he says, is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Do you struggle with that? Boy, I do. I get in the cart in front of the horse all the time, every day. Sometimes it frustrates me and sometimes it irritates me. But can I be honest with you? Many days I just don't think about it. How about you? I just try to ignore it and hope it'll go away. And then when I need that sweet talk with God, that sweet walk with God, that great power from God, that help in making those big choices from God, sometimes, I feel like Adam biting the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've eaten a lot of that fruit. How about you? What is the message of Christmas? What is the message that John wants us to understand? That we've all been separated, that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. What is the message? That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, Christmas time, choose the meaning of salvation over the meaning of the commercialism of Christmas. And finally this morning, the message and the meaning lead to the merit, and it is priceless. Christ came not to condemn the world. We do that ourselves. Our sin condemns us. Our sin separates us from God. But the gift of Christmas, the value of Christmas, the merit of Christmas, it's priceless. It is God promising us that He will never, ever give up on us. God has blessed us with the greatest gift, His love. It has the greatest power that although we live in bodies made of clay that surely will die, yet shall we live. The resurrection proclaims it. And God, our priceless God, will never give up on us. In 1989 in Armenia, there was an earthquake that lasted for 4 minutes. It killed 30,000 people. Moments after the deadly tremors ceased, a father raced to an elementary school to save his son. When he arrived, he saw that the building had been leveled, and looking at the mass of stones and rubble, he remembered a promise that he had made to his child: no matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. Driven by his own promise, he found the area closest to where his son's room was, and with his bare hands, he began to dig. Other parents arrived and began sobbing, saying, "It's too late. No one could survive this devastation. They're dead. You can't help them." Even the police and the rescue folks said, "It's too late." But the father refused, and he dug for an hour, and then two, and then four, and then eight, and then 16, and then for 32 hours. All the time, folks coming saying, "You need to quit." His hands were bloodied. He was exhausted, stopping only to drink. He continued. 36 hours, he wouldn't quit. And finally, 38 hours in, he pushed with all his might and a stone moved. And for the first time, he heard his son's voice say, "Dad, it's me." The boy added these priceless words: "I told the other kids not to worry. I told them, Dad, if you were alive, you'd save me. You promised, Dad, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." Brothers and sisters, I've got good news. That's the message of Christmas. God sent His Son to say, no matter what, earthquakes will come, heartache will happen, devastation, but believe I'm alive, God would say. And as long as I'm alive, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. Is that not the message of Christmas? One more time, shall we celebrate the message of Christmas by saying together, John 3:16. For God blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your salvation, for the priceless gift of your Son, our Savior. And now as we make decisions, O God, choices about how we will live our life, may the power of the love of Christmas touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing carol is page 85, The First Noel. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, if you've never accepted His salvation publicly, oh, the Sunday before Christmas would be the perfect time as we stand together. Be seated for just one moment, please. Several months ago, Freddie Adkins mentioned to me that his mom was interested in moving her membership to Flat Springs Baptist Church, but her health's unable for her to attend. And this week, while she's been in the hospital, I went and visited with her, and she expressed that same desire to me. And so we have chatted some, and we have some precedent to do that. And so today, upon her request, I would like to present her name upon promise of a letter from a sister church that she become a member of Flat Springs Baptist Church. Do I hear a motion that we receive? Hear a motion second. You would join me in welcoming her to our fellowship and our commitment to pray for her. Would you do that by saying amen?
Amen.
And indeed, we welcome her to our fellowship. Brother Tom.
And Brother Jeff.
before we close, I would like the church staff, if you would, we stand. Kathy, I'm going to leave it up to you. I want to require that you stand, but if you don't want to walk all the way around, I understand. Matt, no. We'd just like to say Merry Christmas. This is our staff, and I don't like to use the word staff because this is family. I can't imagine life without Flat Springs Baptist Church, and it's hard for me to imagine life without Flat Springs Baptist Church without this group. And we want to thank you for all that y'all have done this year. And I'm going to do it as I've got them in my hand. Matt, Merry Christmas. And Kathy, we wish you the best and a Merry Christmas. All you do. Thank you. And Pastor, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you. And from my family to you, and I'll speak for the staff, we wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas. But I'm going to see you all tonight at 7 o'clock, so I'll do it again. And I'm going to see you all Tuesday night. Well, I know there are family obligations, but if you can make Tuesday night, it is a blessed time. Would you stand with me? And now, as we who've been touched by the message and the meaning and the merit of Christmas on this day, leave this place. May we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? God, thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior. What a gift. In Jesus' name, amen.